Good morning. Come to Jesus just as you are, and He will let you stay that way. Isn't it interesting how more and more you see the precepts, ideas of men creeping into worship, creeping into the church? Come to Jesus just as you are. Isn't that how we come to Jesus? Somewhat. I came across this statement here not too long ago, and I hadn't quite heard it stated, put forth this way. Come to Jesus just as you are, and He will let you stay that way. Come to Jesus in whatever way is best to you, because you are saved by faith and grace. Your quest for salvation should not affect or alter your behavior. Worship in whatever way you are most comfortable. Does Jesus let us stay the way we are? Or are we to grow? Are we to gain in knowledge? Are we to repent? Repentance, faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Repentance, repent, change. I hope we know that we're to worship God in the way that Jesus Christ said to do it. I want to look at true worship today, and I want to start by looking at the authority of Jesus Christ. His Lordship. Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have a Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible, and I use it a lot. And there are 342 entries on each page, three columns. And if you look up the word Lord, there are 21 pages. And you do the math. It's a lot. Jesus Christ is called Lord 747 times in the Bible. Lord. In the book of Acts alone, He's called Lord 92 times. Only twice in the book of Acts is He called Savior. Not to diminish His position as Savior, but the emphasis there is obviously on Lord, His Lordship. I'd like to read Acts 2 and 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. Christ meaning the anointed. Anointed of God. Romans 14 and 9. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Christ the Lord. Lord being from the Greek K-A-R-I-O-S, Kyrios. Sovereign Master. Master in charge. The definition of master includes to rule, to be in power, to be in control. Christ is the Lord. He is our Savior and our Lord. Can He be our Savior without being our Lord? He cannot be our Lord and Savior if He's not in control. John 13 and 13, to go along with this. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Jesus Christ Himself acknowledged Himself as teacher and Lord. Romans 10 and 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of people use this verse to say that's all you have to do. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, confess him, and you'll be saved. I hope we know that there's more to that. We do have to do that. We do have to confess. But there are other things that we have to do also. We have to obey. How many times do we hear in the Scripture, do we read in the Scripture, continue in the Word. Continue in the Lord. Obey. And we all know that we have to be baptized. We need to surrender to that lordship, to that teaching, in order to be saved. Because we can worship in vain. We can believe in vain. We can have fantasy faith. But we must have pure faith. We must do what the Lord wills. Belief that we are doing the right thing is no good unless we know what the right thing is. James 2:19 says, even the demons believe, but what do? They tremble. On the other hand, in John 2:23, 6:14, and 8:30, we read of believing in and having faith in Jesus Christ. Also, Hebrews 4:14, 10:39, 1 Peter 2:7, and 2 Corinthians 13:5. Believe in Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Have pure faith. Test that faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Colossians 1:22 and 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. But if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Established and firm. Continue in your faith, established and firm. Fixed, not moved, knowing what the word of the Lord is. What then is true worship? John 4, starting with verse 20. I'm gonna start with this. We're going to go on through other verses with worship, but I wanted to start with this one in particular because we'll see why in a minute. Starting with verse 20, John 4. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God in spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Did you count the number of worships in there? In those verses, the word worship or form of worship is mentioned 10 times. 10 times. It's from the Greek proskinao, proskinao. And it literally means to kiss the hand of. An expression of honor. In John 12:3, Mary wiped Jesus' feet with her long hair. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, a woman's long hair is called her glory. Mary wiped Jesus' feet with her glory. She worshipped. Exodus 34:14, do not worship any other god. Matthew 4:10, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I'd like to look at three kinds of worship. Worship, number one, is worship of the wrong God. I mentioned Habakkuk 1 and 16, the Chaldeans. They were the Babylonians. Chaldeans were a sect of people who had influence in the Babylonian Empire. And it said they worshipped their power and strength. I bring this up because we've had it on Wednesday night and it's fresh in my mind. They worshipped their power and their strength. You remember, what really irritated God about the Babylonians is that they thought they were unconquerable. They were proud. They thought that no one could subdue them. They worshipped their power and their strength. The Canaanites worship Baal. The Ammonites worship Moloch. And in Exodus 32, the Israelites worshipped the golden calf. Worshipping the wrong gods. We read about it in the Bible. We can do it today. Money, jobs, people. Can we worship people? Surely we can. We need to take care not to do that. We need to take care to worship God. We can worship God in the wrong way. Leviticus 10 talks about Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire. How did they offer strange fire? They were worshiping God. They used coals that weren't taken from the bronze altar, and they burnt the incense at the wrong time of the day. They thought their hearts were right, I think. There's reference to if there's a admonishing against drinking later on. So there's reference to the fact that they might have been drinking in one of my reference materials. You can take that for that, I guess. But they were worshiping God. They did it in the wrong way. In the second chapter of Haggai, the Jews were told, just because you have a temple doesn't mean your offerings are going to be accepted. Your heart, your attitude has to be in it. Remember, they had built the temple, and God was telling them, God said that their offerings weren't good. Because their heart, their attitude wasn't in it. They weren't doing it correctly. In the second chapter of Malachi, the priests did not set their hearts to honor God. And they taught the people in the wrong way. In the books of Amos and Isaiah, Israel and Judah were rebuked because they were not worshiping correctly. I'd like to read Mark 7, verses 6 through 8. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. The Pharisees. The teachings of men creep into the church. One of those teachings is worship as you will. And that leads us to acceptable worship. Worship being defined in terms of honor, reverence, glory. It mentions the assembly to do it. Dictionary definition of the word worship mentions assembling to worship God. Reverent honor and homage paid to God. There's an old English translation of the word that we use as worship, and it is literally worth-ship. One word, W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. Worth-ship. Meaning something of value. Literally, the value of God. Is God not something of value? One of the comments made on that was the end result. is something of value. God is something of value. Our salvation is something of value. Worthship. If we do it correctly, we'll get to heaven. That's value. John 4:24 mentioned worshiping in spirit and in truth. How many times have you heard that? Worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit meaning not materially, but with love for God in our hearts. Truth according to the Word. Psalms 96:9 says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Isn't that neat? I like that. Splendor, grandeur, greatness, wonder, awe. The splendor of His holiness. I'd like to read Psalms 103:1. Well, I'll read that. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, all my inmost being, praise His holy name." My innermost being, the Spirit within us. Psalms 1:2 says, "Blessed is the man who sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly," and then it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon it does he meditate day and night." Meditate, literally translated to be to chew the cud. To ruminate. Ruminants. Don't ruminants chew the cud? And what is your, when I say the word ruminate, what do you think of? Think upon. And I'm not going to go the cow route. But a ruminant chews its cud, and to ruminate connotates to think about. Meditate on the Word, think about it, focus on it, and discover something about God. How many times have you heard, no matter how many times I study this, something new comes out? No matter how many times I study the Word of God, I always learn something new. Study the Word of God. Think about it. Ruminate on it. Learn something new. The biggest hindrance, I think, to true worship in most cases is us. I taught we're going through the Minor Prophets on Wednesday night. I taught the Minor Prophets some years back. It's amazing to me now that we're going through it again how much new stuff comes out of there. Because I've got my old notes. And it's amazing how much new stuff has come out of that. Psalms 57:7 and Psalms 108:1 talks about being steadfast in your heart. Worship God with a steadfast heart. Steadfast. Steadily directed. Firmly established. In truth. Not wavering, but fixed in truth. The book of James talks about wavering, being unstable. How do you stop wavering and being unstable in truth? You read it. You study it. You think about it. You ruminate on it. In the first chapter of Romans, men exchange the truth for a lie. They didn't think it was worthwhile to remain in the knowledge of God. So what did God do? Gave them over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind. They were filled with wickedness, evil, and depravity. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our worship is not primarily emotional. Emotion enters into our worship. But we can't be tossed to and fro with every idea. We have to know what the correct ideas are. We worship out of the understanding of the Word of God, and that involves repentance. Acts 2:38, Luke 13:4. A change. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Change. Do things right. And we know that just the belief is not enough. How many times do we hear continue in the Word? Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 5:4, and 1 Corinthians 11:20 talk about the assembly. We must assemble. And on and on and on the Word goes. We can't be liars, thieves. We can't swear. We can't be adulterers. The husband's the head of the household. We can't be brawlers. We can't be immoral. We can't be greedy. On and on the Scripture goes to teach us how to live as a Christian. And on it goes, telling us how to worship in truth. It includes some needs for repentance, for acceptance of the truth, the Word of God, for acceptance of trials of life and knowing that we need to put God first. And the need for devotion and commitment to that putting God first. How much do we see men's ideas creeping into the church? There are many ways to God. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to exchange to change. You just need to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. God does require us to change. He requires us to grow. He requires us to put away the old things when we come to Jesus Christ. To do things better. This is Christ's church. He's the Lord. He is in control. He gave us this word. He gave us how to do it. And He is Lord. And our Savior. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near. Come to God. With a sincere heart, in spirit and in truth, with our hearts sprinkled by the blood of Christ, which forgives us of our sins and makes our robes white as snow, washed with pure water. That's a reference to the high priest washing before he went into the most holy place in the church. That's a reference to baptism. There are many things we need to do to worship in truth and in spirit. We need to know what those things are, and we know what those things are by reading and studying His Word. Christ is head of the church. Christ is in authority, and this is His Word. We need to worship in truth. There are things creeping into the church, there are attitudes creeping into the church. And I see it some places in this church, in this congregation, that are attitudes of men. We need to know what God wants. And we need to resist attitudes of the world that creep into the church. We need to draw near to God with a pure heart. Our hearts are made pure by knowing what the Word says and doing it. One of the things that we're told to do is be washed in baptism. That's one of the works, one of the acts, one of the things that we need to do. So we'll offer that opportunity now. If you need to be baptized, become members of the church, or have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.